One Man Revolution, Volume 2, Episode 33. So I'm prepping for the show today and going through my MySpace, going through some IMs back and forth with some folks out there. Yes, hi everyone. It's me, the revolutionary, the legendary one man of the One Man Revolution, and at least the legend in my own mind, if not in my own time, but that remains to be seen. So I'm going through some different articles and whatnot, and lo and behold, in the New York Times, David Stout puts out a piece today, May 30th, 2006. And of course, this will probably be, you guys will probably receive this May 31st, 2006. If not, later on. And David Stout of the New York Times puts out an article that says, "Justices set limits on public employees' speech rights." Yes, Alito, Roberts, Scalia, and Thomas have decided that you, as a public employee, if you work for any type of government or governmental agency, including folks who work for universities, and you people know who I'm talking to, may be under different rules than the rules of the First Amendment. And what were those rules?
Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech, or of the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble, and to petition a government for a redress of grievances.
This attacks directly on, on the people who are considered whistleblowers. People who say that the government is doing things that are wrong. And who are the people? Who are the people that are the biggest naysayers right now within King George's little committee? People within his own government. So he can now decide to stifle other people. So we'll come back to that story. And Chachi on Acid, I think, has the exact thing that I'm thinking. Yeah, that's exactly how I was thinking when I first read that. It was, oh my effing God, what the heck is that? And there'll be enough profanity in today's show, don't you worry. But I'm not going to be the one saying it this time. I think I'm going to let the music speak for itself. Hey, U.S. Sniper, this off the BBC News. Of course, our papers and news outlets aren't carrying this, which is a story about the D.C. sniper. He was found guilty of killing of six more deaths in neighboring Maryland. A jury took about 4 hours to find John Allen Muhammad. Notice they always give serial killers three names, John Wayne Gacy. I think the only exception is Ted Bundy. But, the son of Sam and all these other friendly people. Let's see, what was the guy that ate everybody? I'm sure I'll remember it by the end of the day. All right, so John Allen Muhammad found guilty of all the murders charged against him. So these are in the Washington area slayings. That's coming out of the BBC, and we'll come back to that in a second. And not last but least, one of my last headline stories today. And then we'll get into some happy news because I was supposed to be on Ravenlocks tonight, but Joey's not feeling too well. He might put out a Ravenlocks Entertainment all by himself. I gave him all the tools, and I wish him the best. He hasn't been feeling too good. We all know that Joey's partially bionic and robotic, don't we, over there at Ravenlocks.com, and they had to pull him in for a 50,000 mile tune-up and lubrication. So he's gonna be down for a little bit. So what about this Haditha? The killings in Haditha back in November, where we're just starting to hear from about them now. People are asking the question, well, when did Bush learn of these deaths? And oddly enough, King George learned about the deaths when the press started asking questions. I guess even King George is on a need-to-know basis. And you know, between John Allen Muhammad and King George and heck, the rest of the American people, including the individual who took it to the highest court of the land, I dedicate Life Has Teeth. This is a band off the Podsafe Music Network. It's 4:46 with their song, aptly named, Shit Out of Luck.
your shit out of luck.
Life Has Teeth with Shit Out of Luck. You know, you can't hear that music anywhere else but here on a podcast that's from the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. Because, well, the radio just won't play it. I mean, how can you play a song that uses the four-letter word for excrement in its title? They would have to just change what that is. And it would change the whole feeling of that. Because at 4 o'clock in the morning, people don't mind a lot of things. But obviously, that individual was just out of luck. So the justices have set limits to public employees' speech rights. This coming from the New York Times from Washington News Bureau today, May 30th, for release. The case brought by the Los Angeles deputy prosecutor, Richard Caballos, complained to his bosses in early 2000 that after being alerted by a defense lawyer, he had found serious misrepresentations in an affidavit to obtain a search warrant. So the discussions with his superiors were heated, a trial court rejected challenges to the warrant, and in the aftermath, Mr. Caballos contended he was reassigned and denied promotion. He filed grievances, which were denied based on the finding that he had not suffered any retaliation based on his claim to the contrary. So Mr. Caballos, you know, this is the funniest part. Piss off a lawyer. If you ever really want to find out what the law is about, just go piss a lawyer off, and especially a prosecutor. Prosecutors are generally individuals that are doing this because they are at the top of their game. You know, defense attorneys, all they have to do is find loopholes in the law. Prosecutors have to know the law itself. So Mr. Caballos took his case to federal court, which threw it out after accepting his employer's argument that the actions Mr. Caballos complained about were explainable by legitimate staffing needs. And the United States Court of Appeals, Ninth Circuit Court, reversed the lower court, concluding that Mr. Caballos' free speech rights had indeed been violated. So in the case of Garcetti versus Caballos, which was one in a long line of cases addressing the rights of public employees, and as David Stout says, it's surely not the last. When it was argued before the justices on October 12th, the Bush administration sided with Los Angeles County in arguing that the Ninth Court, if the Ninth Court were upheld, public employees would in effect get constitutional protection for performing their duties to the dissatisfaction of the employer. So basically, what was said by the Bush administration within these civil service laws, it was that we really need, as civil servants, the protection of the Constitution. Because what happens if, for some political reason, our speech is tempered, and then as a result of that, we as taxpayers, citizens, and some of us card-carrying members of the ACLU will have to basically keep our mouths shut, which, in my opinion, a sin of omission is just as bad as speaking up against something and taking the consequences. So hats off to Revolutionary Caballos here, who took it all the way to the Supreme Court. Now, unfortunately, employees who think that they are unfairly treated are being now told to rely on civil service laws. And Mr. Caballos' lawyer argued unsuccessfully that the result, of this case, of the government's lawyers were seeking would cause an unacceptable chilling of the free speech on whistleblowers. You're saying, and this is Justice Kennedy, who was skeptical of the position at that time. You're saying that the First Amendment has to function within the government office, he said, and the First Amendment isn't about policing the workplace. In writing that decision that reversed the Ninth Circuit Court, Justice Kennedy noted that the Supreme Court has made it clear in previous rulings that public employees do not surrender their First Amendment rights by reason of their employment. And, you know, on the other hand, he also wrote, when citizen enters government service, the citizen, by necessity, must accept certain limitations to his or her freedom. So it's in the Ninth Circuit Court decision being reversed, it's a very odd and strange thing that's being written about. Now, I know when I took my position at a leading university here in the Central Florida area, without giving too much away, keeping the revolutionary as far removed from all of these things, I had to sign an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States of America. Now, I don't take signing anything lightly. You know, if that document is to hold me to some standard, then guess what? I'm going to be held to that standard. And if I'm held to that standard, everyone is held to that standard. So if I see something that's wrong or something that's being done against the Constitution of the United States, especially one limiting my or others' free speech, I'm going to speak out about it utilizing my free speech. So unfortunately for for those of us that believe that way, the current writings by the Supreme Court as it stands today will chill the idea that if I do something wrong within my job, I have to preclude everything I say with, well, in my opinion, as a citizen and a taxpayer, this is wrong. Because if I don't say that, if I don't say that as a citizen, then I'm going to have some serious problems. Because the controlling factor in this case of the Ninth Circuit Court ruling, which was overruled or reversed, was that Mr. Caballos was acting purely in an official capacity when he complained internally about the search warrant. And Caballos wrote his disposition memo because that was part of what he was employed to do. He was not acting as a citizen by writing it. But where's this fine line between acting as a citizen and acting as an official? Now, this is a very, very slippery slope you're standing on, Judge Roberts and alike who are up there right now. I'm sorry, Justice Roberts, Justice Alito, Justice Scalia, and Justice Thomas. All you guys are on a slippery slope here because, in my humble opinion as a taxpayer and a card-carrying member of the ACLU, I have some serious problems with you guys saying that you can split your citizenship away from your job. Is not acting within your own capacity and making decisions that affect other people the highest act of an official working as a citizen official. There is no separation. Maybe you guys should go back and read some of the papers by the founders. The fact that we are all citizens and that we are all working toward a common goal, and that these amendments and these rights should not be abrogated just because of our positions. So to accept this argument, the majority today concluded in the federal court would be to commit the state and federal courts to a new permanent and intrusive role overseeing communications between government employees and their supervisors. Well, what if their supervisors railroad you as an individual into a position where you'd have to quit your job, the job that you were doing very, very well and doing for the people of your district or doing for your people of your area, and you just have to step down and go find a job in the quote-unquote private sector because you are no longer politically your superiors want you to be. So obviously they did not take into account the politics, or maybe they did, and this is exactly the agenda that King George has sent his people out to do. Now, dissenting in three separate opinions were Justices Stevens, Stouter, Bader Ginsburg, and Breyer. And you justices, you keep fighting the good fight and standing up against for you know standing up for what's right, especially in this one. The note that there is a categorical difference between speaking as a citizen and speaking in the course of one employment is quite wrong, said Justice Stevens as he wrote the majority ruling could have the perverse effect of giving public employees an incentive, an incentive to talk out. As citizens before talking to their supervisors. So I might speak out on this podcast before I go and talk to my superiors within the university system. That's what this ruling is saying, that if I bring it up to my superiors, that my speech is not protected. But if I bring it up to publicly, well, guess what? It's protected speech. All right. And remember, you're listening to the One Man Revolution. I'm the one man. Justice Scouter also asserted and agreed with what I said, is that public and private interests in addressing official wrongdoing that threatens public health and safety can far outweigh the government's stake in the efficient implementation of policy, which, let me tell you, went to down to the tag office not too distantly in the past, and I picked up a new tag. And let me tell you, their system that they're using is one out of the 70s still. I mean, it's getting to be the point where this is ridiculous. You know, let me use my debit card. Why do I have to pay with a check or cash? All right, so Justices Scalia, Thomas, and Alito, and Roberts, you guys need to maybe get with the program here and not listen to what King George is leading us down. I know they say that there's no stacking of the court. And that's the whole idea of a check and balance system. But when one party and one group is completely in power and they railroad people through to become justices and chief justices, this is what happens. So here's Summer Rose with 3 minutes and 32 seconds of their song, Liar. you think that you could find good music like that elsewhere than on the Podsafe Music Network, you're probably traveling around a lot of clubs and meeting a lot of people who really love good music, because you aren't getting that from corporate America. That was Summer Rose with Liar. That's going to be a punk standard for me for the next little while, especially dealing with all these liars that I'm dealing with in my daily life. Let me tell you, you know, not just King George, but it seems like half the justices, they're lying to themselves and they're lying to us if they're saying that they don't think that the, if they think that we can split ourselves away from being citizens and being workers. That's insane. So speaking of insane, not an insanity plea, I guess, but the U.S. sniper, that would be John Allen Muhammad, was convicted of six killings in the October 2002 Washington area snipings. Now he was not he was found guilty, but according to various reports that I've been reading, he is not going to receive the death penalty, but receive life in prison without the possibility of parole, which to me is worse than death. So how did they convict him? He's going to be sentenced, of course, on Thursday, and we'll see what's going to happen. Of course, John Allen Muhammad acted as his own lawyer during this latest trial, and he argued that he was framed, and he sat with his arms folded across his chest as the verdict was read out. In the U.S. courts, it's traditional for the accused to stand during the reading of the verdict, and obviously he was protesting that. Now, how did they do it? Well, they put his accomplice on the stand, Lee Boyd Malvo, who's 21, and Malvo pled guilty and gave the prosecution extensive information about how he and Muhammad drove a car around with a hole drilled in the back to allow them to shoot people. And basically throughout the trial, Muhammad cross-examined Malvo, calling him son, and was admonished several times for his lines of questioning by the judges. And it looks, hopefully, Lee Boyd Malvo is going to make it out of this thing okay, basically because he was found to be insane, or at least of diminished mental capacity, because he was indoctrinated by this individual. How did they catch him? Well, prosecutors introduced DNA and ballistics. The prosecution team also said they pursued the second trial case in Virginia if any of these convictions are overturned on appeal. They choose not to seek the death penalty because it's probably better for this guy to spend the rest of his life in jail, all to the dismay of some of the relatives of the victims. Everyone wants their pound of flesh, I know. But everybody, think about it. Put this guy in a cell for the rest of his life. Don't open the door. Don't let him out. Give him food. And let him sit and think about what he did for the rest of his natural life. He's 45. With proper medical care and feeding, he could live to be 90. Imagine sitting in a room 10 by 10, 8 by 10, with nothing to do for the next 45 years. So there are also possible links to Antigua, where Malvo may be linked to shootings there, and Washington State. So Malvo and Muhammad could face even more trials in more areas. So don't worry, folks. Somebody will get them. Oh, and Bush, good old King George. This man is so out of the loop. Remember, he's the guy that sat around and read about the goats as the towers were burning and just before they fell down. Now, whether or not he put them down or not, that's a loose change 9/11 question. That would be loosechange911.com. And I know, put on my tinfoil hat. So today, this was released by the Associated Press. people were asking in the press briefing today of by Tony Snow when Bush learned of this of the events of Haditha, and he said when a Time reporter first made the call. Time magazine was the first to report in March that the U.S. military was investigating a dozen Marines for possible war crimes. The killings, which included men, women, children, came after a bomb rocked a convoy November 19th, killing a single Marine. What this is generally called is it's called mob justice, battlefield justice, and a lot of the times it's just overlooked. But the Marines then shot and killed unarmed civilians in a taxi at the scene and went into homes and shot other people, according to Representative John Murtha, Democrat of Pennsylvania, also a decorated war veteran and prominent critic of the Iraqi policy, and who has also talked with military officials. This is a very difficult thing, because if we're just going around randomly shooting civilians because these guys are afraid, scared, don't know who the insurgents are, because this is a guerrilla war, we're identified very well, but they're not. So I think the best course of action, King George, bring our boys home, bring our boys and girls home. Don't leave them there anymore. This is just not the best way of conducting ourselves as a civilized and progressive nation. So pull them out, pull your head out of the sand, and go ahead and bring everyone home. I think that would be a good way to start. But one good thing that comes from this is that all the details will be given to the public once the investigation is over, and Tony Snow says that we'll have a picture of what happened. Now, whether or not that's a true picture, I don't know. Well, one other thing that I wanted to bring up, I was supposed to podcast with Joey tonight, but I guess that wasn't set to be, because Joey is not feeling well. Joey's had everyone who knows Joey at Ravenlocks Entertainment, you guys understand what's going on with him. And so he's not feeling too well, and he'll probably record something. I set him up this weekend with a Cast Blaster and hooked up his mics and everything else onto his machine. And hopefully he'll be able to post his own podcasts all by himself really soon. So to you, Joey, all I have to say is I'm scooping you. Our good friends, the X-Men. We did several several stories on the X-Men on Ravenlocks Entertainment at ravenlocks.com. They hit 120 to 140 million, depending on what reports you read, on its opening weekend, busting everybody's records. It even broke, if you don't take the 5-day record that Spider-Man set, because it opened up on a Wednesday, if you don't take that record, then it is one of the biggest opening weekends of all time. So congratulations to the team over there at Marvel. There's very little I can say beyond that. Go to their MySpace page. If you go to the MySpace page for the X-Men, The Last Stand, which would be the X space itself, which is at, doggone it, where am I at? What if I hit F5? Oh, there it is. MySpace.com/X-Men, The Last Stand. And you'll be able to see trailers and all the other parts and pieces, be able to get skins and buddy icons and all kinds of other great things that are there, right there from MySpace. And you also end up with 16 in your top friends list instead of it being just top 8. So go ahead and add them as a friend. If nothing else, you get a neat little cookie that allows you to have 16 friends. But yeah, breaking all records, and the only thing that it didn't beat was the Da Vinci Code in Europe, because I guess the people over in Europe are a little bit more erudite than we are. All right, well, if you want to contact the One Man, go to onemanrevolution.org, and taking us out today is Lily with an Attitude by the Alice Project. 3 minutes and 13 seconds. And we're out. You on a sad note, and how could I? All right, folks, it's me, the one man, and I will catch you guys tomorrow in a podcast today for the month of May. All right, I will see you.